so the farmers can get into the fields, plant their crops. We're grateful to all of those that support us in our livelihood. We're thankful for the doctors and nurses, the hospitals. We're thankful for the first responders. Father, we're thankful for our military, all that are working toward helping out at this time. Father, we know that nature will take its course, but we know who the ruler is of all things, and Father, we pray that you'll help us to eradicate this disease. Yes. Help us, Lord, today as we gather here to worship you. We pray we'll do it in the spirit and in truth, and Father, we're here to recognize that you're the creator of us and all the things that are around about us. You know our every need, and Father, we pray that you will give us those things. Thank you for Jesus who came into the world and died for us. We ask you to bless those that are sick. We ask that they be restored to their normal walks of life. And we pray, Father, that you will look into them, that they can gain such. Bless us now as we worship you in song. Father, we thank you so much for all the things that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's open our books this morning to number 149.
Amen.
149. Hark the gentle voice of Jesus calling tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity calling. Turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest.
Made for the pure and the free. These truths
praising God worthy as given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping or pining, no wish for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing. And splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How
seated, please. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 370. Night with heaven pinion brooded o'er the veil, all around was silent, save and lowly, humbly bowed in prayer. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
As is common for our practice, this tray contains the bread only. And if you would take from each one of the containers there, the container itself, and empty the bread into your hand or into your mouth, and then put the container into the back of the pew there, that would be the standard way that we would do that same thing for the fruit of the vine. Would you pray with me about this, the bread? Our kind Father in heaven, we thank thee so much for thy love and care. We're thankful that the knowledge has reached us regarding the touching of things and the terrible conditions that can occur in our physical bodies from this ailment that can be with us. And we're prayerful that we will, as we partake of this today, more concentrate upon thy body, which in that body bore our sins upon the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Our kind Father in heaven, we thank thee so much for the meaning of this fruit of the vine, which Jesus said will signify his blood that was shed so that we might have remission of our sins, forgiveness of those sins, and being put away from us as far as the east is from the west. We thank thee for his willingness to do this and for the great faith that he had in thee to call them back from the dead. And you did on that third day as you promised, so that his tomb is now empty, but the meaning still is the same. Thank you for this fruit of the vine, in Jesus' name. As a convenient time, we give as we've been prospered at this time of this service. Kind Father, we thank thee for the opportunities that we have, for the strength that we have, and for the willingness that we have to give back to thee in a cheerful manner, so the work of the Lord in this place as well as around the world can continue to be done. In Jesus' name.
We have eight present this morning. Today is April 5th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our songbooks at number 718. 718 will be the song of invitation after our lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 419. 419. Only in thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace that the world, though all combined, never can take from me.
trusting thy cleanse from every stain, thou art my only plea. Only in thee my heart will delight, till that land where cometh the night, faith will be lost in heavenly sight. Only, dear Lord, in thee.
Brethren, we advertised all week on our sign about God and reason being the lesson today, and it is a fitting thing. In the book of Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writes, brethren, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The way that God was saying here through Paul to the brethren at Rome is that they had a right way of doing things. They had a right way of religion, a right way of practice of it that they felt like was just exactly good. And thus they practiced that worldly way of worship and service. But he says to them, they being ignorant of God's right way of doing things. God had a righteousness in regard to the place of the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. A reminder of the body of Christ that bore our sins. The blood of Christ that furnished us the freedom and remission of our sins. He had a plan, whereby the brethren at Corinth, when they misconstrued it and mistaught it and did not honor it, were told in 1 Corinthians 11 very vividly, they were eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. The right things of God in regard to the worship of God in the Lord's Supper only is an idea of doing right by God. These brethren in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 tell us that they repented of that. They changed their mind about it. They were reasoning with God that this being not acceptable to God, eating, drinking condemnation to their souls, was not what they wanted to do. They wanted to eat and drink not condemnation, but they wanted to eat and drink everlasting life to their souls, which is what we want to do today. As we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, we're told in Ephesians 5 and 19, speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The singing is to be done to one another first and foremost. I'm telling you to love the Lord when I sing Love the Lord. I'm telling you to remember His blood. I'm telling you to remember this idea of He's at the door standing, as we'll sing in just a moment. And you're telling me He's standing at your door, and He is waiting for you to open that door. And thus, if we will open that door, Revelation 2 and 10, I will come in and will sup with you and you with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, is the statement made by John in the revelation of Jesus' own words. So when we talk about these things, we're talking about things that are righteous, that God said these were the right way to think, the right way to talk, the right way to do. And if we practice the way that the Romans were doing, they were not pleasing to God. And they were being challenged about that. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. They were prayed for because they were genuine people. And Paul understood that they could understand reasoning. They could understand how to reason about it, to do the right thing. When he told them, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The way they were doing things, were they going to be saved? They were not going to be saved by disobeying God's will and God's way and going about doing their own righteousness and not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. If we don't submit ourselves to the righteousness of God in prayer, the old preacher used to say, it gets no higher than the roof in which building you pray the prayer. If we do not pray genuinely from our heart and from our soul, our inner being, about the words that are said, we find ourselves not pleasing to God. I found myself that when I partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering when the Lord's Supper parts were put together, and how that there was a prayer that went with each one of those elements that were placed in the trays, a prayer that went with those who would come and those who would partake of this, to realize the genuineness. May we say the words. May the one who leads us in prayer say the words that are such that it reaches down deep into the soul of those who will partake of this bread. And remember, it was in your body that the sins of their lives put you on the cross. It was in your blood that the freedom from the responsibility of those sins was made possible. How you were so cleansed. Paul wrote about that in Ephesians chapter 1. In whom we have redemption, he says, verse 7, through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. His grace extended to us. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. And we now have that. And we reason, do I get it any other way? Can we read in the New Testament of our Bible where people who prayed for our salvation were told, God bless you, that's the way to do it, that's the way you ought to, you're okay? Or were they told, arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins? We've got an example of that, do we not, in Paul himself. There in Acts 22 and 16, when Ananias arrived at the household where he was found, he saw a man penitent, he saw a man in sorrow, he saw a man in prayer. I have an idea that that was the sorriest sight that he had ever witnessed. A religious man, a dedicated man, a strong man. But he was praying in such a way that Ananias said to him, now, Brother Saul, a fellow Jewish brother, not a brother in Christ yet, he still had his sins with him. And he's going to tell him, you still have your sins with him, and what to do to get rid of those sins. And as he spoke with him, my brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Why do you tarry and continue to say these words of prayer? Arise. Literally, the Greek text says, get up and get yourself baptized. Get up and get yourself baptized and wash away your sins and call upon the name of the Lord. You can call on him in prayer then in such a way that you're his child. He hears you and heeds to you, and his ears are ever open to the righteous. Don't I want to reason myself to be that way? Don't I reasonably talk that way in prayer to him? But I don't find that on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the Jews were told, now you repent and pray. You repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and 38. I don't find where the Ethiopian was saying, do I understand these verses? Of whom is this writer, this prophet speaking? Of himself or some other man? And Simon begins at the very same passage and preaches unto him Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to a certain water. Where did he mention about water in his sermon? We don't have that part of the sermon. But is it not reasonable to conclude that he preached about Jesus and Jesus' commission and how he was carrying out now this commission as he joined himself to the chariot and saying to him, believe and be baptized? And thus he told him, very plainly, very vividly, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's what hinders you from being baptized. Is it reasonable to say that if he said, I don't know that Jesus is the Son of God. I hear you say that now, but I don't know that that's really the way that it is. If they stopped the chariot and if they went down into the water, if he were immersed in that water, what benefit do we know by reason would have come about? But if, as he was, sincere, what doth hinder me to be baptized? If you believe, you may. They stopped the chariot. They both went down in the water and he baptized him. I remember the story told of the late Brother Marshall Keeble, who was asked one time, who baptized whom on that occasion? And he said the one that wanted to be baptized was the one immersed. Who wanted to be? Well, the one wanting to be was in that chariot saying, what hinders me from being baptized? If you believe, you may. He said, I do believe. They both went down in the water and he baptized him. He baptized the one that wanted to be. And when they came up out of the water, he went on his way rejoicing. Is it reasonable to assume or reasonable to teach that that's the method by which salvation came about for the Ethiopian? Or do we have to invent something that's not there at all? A word of prayer to be said, a statement to be made, accepting Jesus into your heart freely. Those words are not the words used in Acts chapter 8. When we find ourselves in the pages of the Bible, we talk about people living lives that are faithful to God and serving God. In Philippians chapter 4 and at verse 3, he tells us that we're not to be people who find ourselves resisting the ways of God, but we're to enjoy the peace of God, which brings to you great joy. That peace of God shall guard your lives, protect you as you study and read the peace of God and practice the peace of God. It's reasonable, he says, to realize that God helps you in that matter. And then he went on to Philippians 3 and at verse 6 to say, don't be anxious in anything. Don't be anxious in a pandemic. Don't be anxious in a way of life. Don't be anxious in a decision made. Don't be anxious at a change of life. Don't be anxious when a storm comes up. Don't be anxious in anything. But by prayer and supplication, by prayer of thanksgiving to God, by request of help from God, let your request be known unto God. And what will God do? He tells us the reasonable thing is that God hears you. God responds to you. That's the way, instead of being anxious in life, be a person who is content in life, that God will answer and he will help us. I believe you prayed that way today, and I believe that's the way that we ought to go about in our daily walk of life. I close out with a passage made there in Romans chapter 12 now. After Paul says there in Romans 10, I want them to be saved. I want them to be people who are saved from sin by the righteousness of God that they practice. Then he says there in Romans chapter 12, brethren, he says regarding this, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies. Here you are living on this earth. You're living in your body. Here you are walking about, doing these things. I beseech you, brethren. These are brethren that obeyed the Lord. There in Romans 6, he says they became brethren in righteousness. They've been baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in new life. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved, he said in Romans chapter 10. But there in chapter 12, he says, brethren, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Living sacrifice. What kind of living death is that? Living in righteous ways and dying to the things of the world. Noah did that in the Old Testament there when he built that ark. In Hebrews chapter 11, it is said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness by faith. He was a man of faith, doing what God said do in building that ark, and he and his household were spared. Is it not reasonable to say that we too need to have that kind of faith that says, I will obey the Lord, I'll follow his right way, and do his right cause, and present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service? What kind of service is that? He says in Romans 12, it's your reasonable service. It's your good and perfect and reasonable service unto God. It's holy. It's the right thing to do. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, won't you please come as we stand and sing together, Who at the Door is Standing, 718.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrenched within demanding. Whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me, if thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart, I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me, if thou would heed my calling, I will abide with thee.
Someone asked me, since Easter time is a time of a lot of visitation, what will you do at Crockett if a whole group of folks show up at Crockett? I said, we will meet them at the door and thank them for coming. And we're welcome to come in and be seated at least two pews apart, separated, as we know the information is being extended to us, not to be condoling that problem. We'll sit, move many spaces apart if we have that many to be with us for that occasion. God bless you all. Appreciate you so very much for being here today. And let's continue to pray God's blessings for this to come to a close. So.
Turn to number 426. 426.
Praise Him,
praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O portals, wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus, who guards His children, in His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever enjoy.
most glorious and great Heavenly Father, once again we come to you, thanking you for the many blessings for this life that you have given us. We especially thank you for the love that you have for us, sending your great